You're listening to the She Lift Project podcast, a show dedicated to helping women achieve higher levels of success in the workplace. No matter where you are in your career, we want to help you grow. Now here's your host, Cynthia Kirkpatrick, a CPA, CFP, and senior financial advisor at Moneta Group.
Welcome to another episode of the She Lift Project podcast. I'm Cynthia Kirkpatrick. Thanks for joining today. And today is going to be a great story for many reasons. We have Kathy Davis, who really helps people tell their stories, whether or not they think they have a good one to tell. Because in my view, as I'm getting older, everybody has a good story and everybody has something to share, to spread wisdom. And we're going to get into all these good nuggets that she prepared for all the to have us today. But first, welcome. Thank you for joining us. And I will say that I got to know Kathy. I love numbers, creative writing, being in front of the camera, not my passion, even though I'm doing it. So I had met Carrie Burgraff and she had introduced me to Jennifer Bardot. This would have been 2020 because we were in COVID. And they said, we're getting a bunch of women together to put this book together. Would you like to join us? And I thought, heck no. And there's probably worse things that I thought, but let's say that. And I am not a writer. I don't have a crazy inspiring story. What would I have to say? And who would even want to read it? With some help of people around me and just learning as I get older to get a little ridiculous and crazy and just take that shot, I said yes. And it was really a cool experience of how you took 40 women in that book to share their stories and really handhold them along the way. So I don't want to give everything away about what you do, but telling stories, sharing wisdom, I mean, that is your helping people have a voice. That's what you do. That's your DNA, your passion.
Well, and thank you for inviting me to share stories with you today. That is what we do. And it's amazing to me how it just kind of evolved. If I look back throughout all my careers that I've had, each one touched on something little to do with books or publishing or gathering people together. Sometimes the anthologies can be a lot like corralling cats. There's a lot of moving parts, and thankfully I have Julie, my assistant, that she's my left brain thinker. So she loves Excel spreadsheets, and she makes sure she knows where everybody's is and what's been done and what hasn't. And I'm very grateful for that, because as much as you love numbers, I love words and being creative. And so I'm not much of that numbers person. So I'm very grateful to have her as a part of our team. But that is what we do. And especially since COVID, there's a couple things that I've noticed that two things that people have really impressed upon me that they need. So if someone's out there buying a book, they're going to buy it, one, because they're looking for hope, or two, they're looking for community. And if we look back during the shutdown of COVID, people were feeling that sense, that loss of hope, not sure what was going to happen next, as well as being, sequestered in your home. Now, for me, I love working at home, and I love being able to have my dog there to say, okay, it's time to take a walk, lady. Let's get up. Let's go out. But for a lot of people, they miss that community. And the anthology model, where we bring all these women, and we're actually doing one with all dads right now, but where people come together in community, has kind of filled that void and filled that gap for a lot of people.
So for those who don't know what an anthology is, I know I went through it. Mm-hmm. I survived pretty unscathed. What is an anthology?
So it's ironic. The word anthology, its roots are in the Greek language, and it actually means a bouquet of flowers, if you follow that word back far enough. And when we put an anthology together, it's a collection, it's a collaboration of more than one author, usually anywhere from 30 to 40, that are all writing about the same subject. And one of the great things about these anthologies is it gives women and men a chance to talk about what I call their hero's journey story. And a lot of us have more than one hero's journey. They just kind of build upon each other. And that's basically where we're walking along in life and we trip on a bump in the road, fall flat on our face, and it could be anything from an illness to a divorce to a death, something traumatic, a crisis in our family. And how did we get ourselves back up, brush ourselves off? Did we call friends? What did we do? And the world likes to hear those stories right now, especially because everybody felt like we all got tripped during that whole pandemic thing. And reading another story by someone else's, how did they get out of this mess, it offers hope to us. It gives us that chance to go, oh, I'm not alone. Somebody else felt like this too.
It humanizes our humanity.
Life, yeah.
Yeah, that we are all humans, mm-hmm. and we're all, whether we wear it on our sleeves or not, we're going through something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always roses and bouquet of flowers.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think it's that, you know, this old thing people say, misery loves company. I don't think it's that per se. I think it's just more about seeing yourself or a bit of yourself in somebody else and knowing I'm not lost yet. There's hope for me.
Yeah. Well, and if you're familiar with Jack Canfield and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, that's exactly what he did with those books. You know, there's Chicken Soup for the teenager, you know, the mother, the grandmother, they've gone through how many ever hundreds of iterations for their particular books. Now we're on 30, so we're not far behind him, but by the end of this year, we'll be well over 30.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at some of the things you'd written here, talking about how many authors you've helped tell their story, how many books and best-selling authors you've helped create or realize their dream. Over 1,500 aspiring authors, and that's not just in St. Louis. I mean, that's
right
beyond.
When we do these anthologies, these collections, typically, I mean, you have friends and family in other parts of the country. You have friends and family in other parts of the world. And just about every anthology that we've done, I'll say easily within the last 4 or 5 years, has always included people from other states, other time zones, and more than likely other countries. We have at least 7 or 8 foreign countries represented by our authors, anywhere from France. She's a repeat. I love that because she got hooked on these anthologies, and she's bilingual, speaks both. So we have France and Canada, Austria. That's one of the fun ones. The other one is Doha, Qatar. You know, it's just somebody knows somebody that would love to be in a book and share their story. Somebody knows somebody that's been through a hiccup in life.
So how does it evolve? You get an anthology, someone brings you an idea, and I'd love to tell a story, and how do we make this happen, Kathy?
So years ago, I actually would come up with the idea, the theme myself, and go out and invite people to come in. And the great thing about an anthology is that you split the cost of the entire book between all the people. And so in order to get a good price point to invite people and entice them to join, you need a few more people. And so we would just keep inviting people into the books. The very first one that we ever did was probably around 2005. It had 52 people in it. And this is an instance where someone came to me and said, I really want to do a book of inspiration, and let's do one chapter per week of the year. And we realized after doing the one with 52 chapters that it's kind of big. And there's a subliminal psychology when people buy books. If your spine is too thick, they go, I don't have time to read that. I'm not going to buy that. And there's some ways that you can manipulate a book and the type on the inside to make it, you know, keep your spine at between 1/2 inch and 3/4 inch. And so as we started doing more and more anthologies, we learned, okay, we're going to lower that number. And 40 just kind of, you know, came out one day. That was how many we had for a book, and we called it, this is a book. We're done. We're going to put it together. Now what happens is, I haven't put an anthology together probably in 3 or 4 years myself, but people will come to me and say, I've got this great idea. It's a wonderful marketing tool, especially for women in business. We have a lot of women that will come to me and say, I've got this great idea. I have this group of followers. I have my own, quite often a high profile coach that will come to me who has women from all over the U.S., and her particular, there's one that we have now, her particular niche is on confidence.
Mm.
And so their stories are all stories about growing their confidence and how that happened, and what happened to maybe put a dent in their confidence, and how did they get it back. And that's a fascinating topic just by itself. And it allows her to offer value to her followers, and at the same time, it allows them to tiptoe into that publishing pond at a much lower price point. Plus, we always do an Amazon International bestseller campaign with them. And every anthology, we don't do it ourselves. I have a vendor that does that. And our vendor, we've probably over the years done 60 plus books with her. Every book that we send through this group always comes in as a number one international or in the top 100 international. So now everyone involved in that book can add that claim to their signature on their emails. They can add it in their bio if they so choose. It's a great way to add credibility to the people that have been in the book.
And build their confidence even more, because now they can say, when's that book on confidence coming out?
Yeah. That will be November-ish.
Okay. Yeah. So November, this will probably come out in a couple months. So later in 2024, mm-hmm. November-ish 2024, that'll be great. Because I think, a lot of people, especially women, mm-hmm. struggle with that. And so why not learn from 40 different voices, or if the number isn't 40, mm-hmm. at least a lot of voices on how they overcome it. And I'm sure more than one will resonate with somebody out there on how to reclaim their confidence.
Well, and that's one of the three parts that I always say, when people ask me, why do I need to be in an anthology? If you're looking for confidence, credibility, and connections, there, one of the women that was has been in four of our anthologies, she is a financial services planner type person, and her, during the pandemic, she lost the opportunity to go out and network. She said, Kathy, I just turned and I looked at the 40 women that were in the book with me, and I made a Zoom coffee break meeting with them, and we got to know each other, and pretty soon we're good friends, and pretty soon they became referral partners. She said, that's how my business survived for the last, throughout the pandemic, and she's grown exponentially and niched down, and it's amazing to watch her grow. And that was how those connections came in, because everybody was in the same boat and everybody needed new referral partners. And she ended up being in four of our anthologies throughout the pandemic.
Wow. And I mean, really, you mentioned your first book. I mean, this, and maybe we'll go back. I mean, really, the publishing and all that started mm-hmm. in 2004. But you have a history of being, and I'll say again, being in the number side, but being married to a creative person, like I feel like there's buckets. You've always been in that creative realm.
Well, and the irony, and my first, I say, real job in corporate, I was creative director for what was then Boatman's Trust. Fast forward, I went Nations Bank, Bank of America, and I always just kind of scratched my head and laughed because, one, it was the trust division, which has always been one of my life lessons, learning to trust people and trust what happens next. And I was very aware that I was in this world of finance, of which I knew nothing about. And I would always kind of laugh and tell people, well, my job's just to make you look good, which it was in its core. And in that particular job, we were putting together the new business presentation books. And that's where the kind of light bulb went off when I looked back over my different careers and different jobs. That was when the books kind of really started. And it was like almost, whether you call it God, the universe, whatever, was starting to plant seeds in me. I need you to go over here and do this, Kathy. Mm-hmm. And after that job, I was downsized in 2003, which I think was a holdover from 9/11. It finally hit our department, but our entire department was 18 shut down. But that allowed me, from having working in that environment, that allowed me the confidence to go, I'm not going back in that corporate world again. And at the time, my husband was still full-time employed in the creative services arena, and that was when I started Davis Creative, which was at that point in January of 2004, so we're in our 20th year right now. it was a branding services agency. And not long after that, in 2005, was when we were approached to do our first book to help someone. And I got to mentor under a woman out in L.A. Her name was Jan King. She has since passed. But she was CEO of a traditional publishing company. So she taught me the traditional way. But at the same time, in the U.S., independent DIY publishing was also coming out with Amazon and Ingram and some other publishing companies. And she taught me how that worked also. So it was kind of, you know, the right professor, so to speak, appeared when I needed them to teach me, you know, this whole new industry for me. And it was a fantastic experience. And from one, we've now well over 500 books have published, individual, not only just anthologies, but solo books. And if you multiply that by the number of people that have been in the anthologies, as you mentioned earlier, it's somewhere over 1,500. Julie's got it, I'm sure, in her figures somewhere. But I've kind of lost track of exact numbers.
Yeah, ask the spreadsheet person. Yeah. They're tracking it.
She'll know. She'll go, oh yeah, give me a second, and she'll find it. Yeah.
They're stat nerd. I'm the same way, mm-hmm. I'm calling
myself.
She
loves it. Yeah.
Right. But really, you know, you mentioned, and we, in preparing for this, this was in your kind of background, is there were seeds along the way. But I imagine being a creative person in a banking world that's highly regulated, that could either be intimidating, you know, or you know, something you had mentioned was, man, that's not something I really know. I want to, I should. How, when you get in those situations, I'm not going to burst the bubble here. What do you tell yourself, or what do you do to gain that knowledge?
Well, in the beginning, I would just look the other way.
Right.
Just like, I don't know how to do this. I'm just not going to look at it. You know, it reminded me of if you have animals or pets and you take your dog to the vet. My dogs have always like looked the other way, and the vet's really not here, you know? And that's what I look back now, whenever I would come up with a finance question, I just, you know, waited until I had to ask my tax person or my CPA. And this was this is when I was still doing the bookkeeping. And then of course they would kind of roll their eyes and kind of bow their head like, oh my goodness, Kathy, you could have asked me this 6 months ago. As the years went on, I learned to ask more quickly and ask when the question first came up. And now I just surround myself with people that love numbers. You know, it's ironic because as I drive along city streets, I memorize license plates. But when it comes to adding them or subtracting them, don't ask me to do that. I can do it, and I've learned a lot. And as I've taken those little steps again, I gain more confidence on the math side. I come from the generation when I was in fifth grade, and I wish I could remember this school teacher's name, long forgotten. I'm sure it's erased from my mind. I was in a class where he would actually, if I remember, trying to work through a math number, math problem, came up, patted me on the back and said, honey, don't worry about it. Just find you a husband that will take care of this for you. And that stuck in my brain all the way to college.
As now, a good motivator or as a...
Why did he say that? Because yeah. I had never... No one had ever said anything like that to me before, and I actually entered college in architecture, which had a lot of math. And I hit that math, and it put me in a panic because I had been told, oh, you don't need to know this. And it wasn't until, and that's when I moved majors, and I went over into, I'm just going to be a creative mode. It's safer over here. But as I look back, I realize those were pivotal points where I, as especially fourth, fifth grader, allowed an elder, a senior that you're supposed to respect and admire, to frame my perspective of and define what he thought my life was going to be like. Even though I questioned it in my mind because I had a mother that worked, and it never occurred to me that I wasn't going to work, But it was that you can't do math, honey, don't worry about it part.
Wow.
But as I got older, you know, I learned high school, you learn how to do math. College, you learn how to do math. And you just, and I remember one of my college professors saying, Kathy, just ask me. We'll go over it. And that was where the first seed was planted for Kathy, just ask. Kathy, just ask. And it kind of became, I see numbers, and I'm very glad that I have a calculator to help me make sure that I'm getting them right, but I'm not as fearful of them as I was when I was in fifth grade. So
it's, wow, that's a powerful story. I mean, because things can stick with you longer than you realize, I think. And words are powerful, even through books. And then the just ask.
Just ask. And trust. That was that whole trust thing again, because as you have a business and it starts growing, you want to ask people to help figure this out. What do I do next? What am I supposed to do? Should I be at LLC or at INC or, you know, whatever it is? And I had to learn to trust other people that the information they were giving me was correct.
Have you ever been burned by that?
Unfortunately, yes, and that's okay. It was a learning experience, and ironically, it has been with my accountants and bookkeepers. No one gave me a sheet of what you should ask when you first hire a bookkeeper, and you just learn as you go along. And in the beginning, it was like, oh my gosh, am I ever going to get this right? But eventually you do. You just hire till you find the one that's going to work for your business, that knows your business, because we have a lot of oddities, you know, in our particular type of business. And it's not just like, I don't know everything about publishing. I couldn't expect my CPA to know everything about publishing.
Right, right. So keep asking, trust. But I think the other thing is, I'm just thinking about my life, you know, don't let that fear of the unknown or who to trust stop you. Keep putting yourself out there, and it's not always going to be a red carpet where everything works perfectly, but, you know, keep going on with your calling and what you're meant to do.
For me, it also meant learning to have a sense of humor. It's like, okay, well, that one's not going to work. And Julie's been a great sounding board, my assistant, because she's been with me almost 7 years now. And she'll say, where did you find that person? But she'll wait. You know, she'll give me room to kind of figure out that this is not working out right. And then she'll kind of raise her voice and go, where did you find that person?
When I think, you know, surrounding yourself, who you surround yourself, both from if you have a business, the skills that they're bringing to that business, but just mindset and personality is so important. So, you know, you're laid off or downsized, and you build Davis Creative. How did you build it? Because your husband's with you now, I think has been, and
so
you've got Julie and a
right.
lot of people. How did you?
He was at Fleischmann Hillard for almost 20 years, which is a public relations global PR firm that his offices happen to be here in St. Louis. And he was downsized in the whole 2008 economy. Mm. A big portion of his department was downsized all at the same time. And that's when we sat across the dining room table literally and said, oh, I guess we're doing this full time now. And there's always that learning curve of learning to work with your spouse. At first we started out sharing an office, and that lasted about, you know, it actually lasted almost 2 years, which is longer than it should have. But, you know, now we have separate offices in our home. You know, I'm on one floor, he's on another.
So tell me about that. And, you know, you can see him. They can't see him except for the few pictures we take. Mm-hmm. My husband's right back there. Mm-hmm. He said, great, I'm going to have to edit her looking right at me. I don't know. But it is an interesting journey. It's both exhilarating and I'm sure at times going, oh, I wish you'd just, you know, get off my back about that. So tell me about, I mean, you guys are in the office. What was it that, what worked, what didn't work, what prompted you to?
Well, it took me that almost 2 years to figure out that he was waiting for me to give him a list. He, in the corporate world, he had a project manager and a secretary. And when he stepped into my world, you did everything yourself. And it took me a while to figure out that, and so that's when we kind of sat down and go, okay, we've got to divide this up. You've got to, you know, I can't give you a list. I got my own list. So we had that conversation, but he's in a comfort zone now where we've learned each other's work styles. He is very capable of sitting at a computer and designing all day, and please don't interrupt him, kind of personality. And he's very happy with that. And I tend to be the one, I'm the bunny. I can jump around to many different projects and have juggled a whole bunch of plates at the same time. And every now and then we'll give him a new plate, so to speak, and then he'll work on that for a while. And so it's I have stepped into the role of project manager for him only because I'm project manager for the business. Mm-hmm. And it happens to involve him. But we have a pool of freelancers that we have kind of, I either hired them at Bank of America, or they were doing freelance for me, or they were doing freelance at Fleshman for him. And so we've now pulled those same type of people into our bucket, so to speak, and they now help us with these books. And it's been amazing to work with the same team that we're comfortable working with.
Yeah, so you have a team, and you're working with all of these people's, you know, me included, who have a background in writing, don't have a background in writing, who, you know, if I probably only know parts of the putting that anthology together. Mm-hmm. I mean, so let's say somebody says, Kathy, I'm not a writer. I've got this great idea for a story. How does it start?
So we have several different types of editors, proofreaders, and ghostwriters. We created our own little person called a writing coach. And I had noticed that the people that were working for us as writing coaches, and that would have been someone that you worked with on the anthology, and we get most of the people that come in will either say, what do I have to say that anybody wants to hear? Or, I haven't written anything since my term paper in high school or college, and I didn't enjoy that. Who says that I'm going to enjoy this? Our writing coaches have a combination of not only a journalism undergrad degree. We have one woman who has a PhD in child development. We have another one who's an MSW social worker. They both have undergrad degrees in journalism, but on top of that, they have this added ability for helping people, nudge them and cheerlead them, and sometimes therapies included too.
Especially with some of the stories that are being shared.
We had a book that came out last year, and Carol, who's got the PhD in child development, she said, Kathy, I think we need to put a disclaimer on this book, and we've never done that before. But there were quite a few stories in this collection that had trauma-related incidents. And she helped us write, and we put a disclaimer like on page 3 in the very front where someone might put a dedication. And we designated each of the stories throughout the book that might trigger something in someone with a little daisy next to the chapter title, and as well as in the table of contents. And it kind of alerted you that if you might have had any kind of trauma-related incident in your life, you may want to skip this chapter. And that was the first time that we'd ever done that. But it was a heavy book, and a lot of the women grew quite a bit. And so we have these writing coaches who have been trained in one arena or another beyond journalism that have people life skill lessons to be able to help someone go through that training. And I've experienced it myself. So a couple years ago, it had always been a bucket item for me. I went through NLP training, which is neuro-linguistic program. And it's amazing how often I rely upon that. You know, I've had a couple authors that are just kind of casually telling me their story, and all at once you can kind of hear them slip back, like where they're in that story, and you want to be able to help them get back out. And we only pair people for these anthologies that have that type for our riding coaches that have that type of experience that can help. We don't want to leave anybody in a worse situation than what they were when they before they came to us.
That's a great, I mean, I hadn't even thought of, you know, that need or how to help people through that.
And I think it came out, we started noticing it coming more to the forefront through during the pandemic, near the end of the pandemic, where if someone did not perhaps have a resolved story or did not feel better or had not come to terms with, had not been through therapy, sometimes they ended in our laps. And thankfully, we had people on staff that were able to help them. And there were a couple that we did refer to professional, you know, let me refer you to this person or let me refer you to that. But yeah, it was a surprise for us. But what it pointed out to me is that there's a need for that. And it all is about learning to tell your story and reposition it and changing your point of view. Whether it's a simple story of just having a flat tire when you go down a highway or a more traumatic story.
Right. It's that working through it. Don't deny the past and the emotions. Mm-hmm. Work through it. But don't live in it. Don't continue
exactly.
to live in that loop, whether it's reframing it or different ways to get to the other side, become.
It's, you know, the term that I've heard used is, what's the other side of the nickel? You know, what's the other side of that coin? And how can we help you get there? And we don't advertise that we have trained professionals. That's not part of it. We don't intentionally want to attract that specific market. We're here to help them. If they land in our sphere, we're definitely here to help them. And helping may also be, as I mentioned, referring them on to someone who does this 24/7 for a living. Yeah.
So they speaking partially from my experience, I'm not a writer, don't know what to do. There's writing coaches, there's editors, there's proofreaders. There literally are people to walk you through, push you through, force you through every step of the way with deadlines. And
well, and it's if you're familiar with the left brain, right brain philosophy, we'll have right brain creatives that come in with just a brain dump. You know, just like a series of journal entries. And then we'll have the left brain logic people that come in and they have their outline down. You know, they know exactly what they want to talk about and they've got the ABC points. And it's fun because, you know, they know exactly and they just go in and fill in their little outline. And the writing coach, no matter which you are, left or right brain, can help you figure out how to get to the end. They may do something as simple as, well, if I were to end this chapter, this might be how I might write it. Now I want you to go back and rewrite that paragraph that I wrote in your words. And they help you get to the end.
Yeah. So there really is somebody to handhold you, whatever you need, handhold you, nudge you, shove
cheerleader,
you.
Yeah.
Cheerleader. That's probably a better way to put it.
Yeah. Well, and everybody gets a certain amount of, each of the authors gets a certain amount of time with each writing coach. We've only had one incident where we had someone go through 17 revisions, which, you know, we have it built in so that if you go over a certain amount of time, you get additional invoices for that time, and you're alerted of that in advance. But the worst case scenario, and it's been a long time since we had someone where she, rather than go back and just make the edits that the writing coach suggested, she would just start over. And it's like, no, sweetheart. We want to get to the end.
What is your favorite story?
Oh, my gosh. There's been so many.
And that's probably not fair. Oh, 1,500 people you've held to.
Yeah. I went through a couple of writing experiences myself last year where one of our anthology sponsors asked me to write the foreword. And then another one asked me to write a chapter in their book. And I had never gone through the process as an author. So I thought, yeah, I need to do this. I need to figure out what this is going to be like. And so I thought it was kind of fun to be able to have one of the authors say, oh, I see you are very familiar with one of the writing coaches said, I see you're familiar with our outline method. I didn't come with an outline, but there is kind of you want a beginning, a middle, and an end when you do your chapter. You know, what's the point here? What's the takeaway? What do you want people to remember? And she said, I see you've been well coached in making sure you bring everything to an end. Or can you add more extra words here? So it was a fun experience for me just to go through that. I think the fun ones, and I can't remember any of them specifically, but they're where people have learned to laugh about whatever it was that occurred. You know, it could be something from childhood, something from college. Typically, we get a lot of stories where people have learned a life lesson. It's very much falls into that hero's journey format of where you walk along in life, you trip, you fall, you dust yourself off, you climb back up, whether it's through friends or family or therapy, and now you find yourself in a new space, and the life lesson you've learned is fill in the blank, kind of. And it's an amazing process for me to watch how when those people come into the very beginning of a book, and they'll go, well, what do I have to say that anybody wants to hear? And by the time they get to the end of that chapter, their confidence level has risen so high that, I mean, I've seen women that have gone and quit their day job and started their own businesses. And it's kind of like, whoa. You know, but this is something they have wanted to do for a long time. And being able to think through it with the power of writing, even if you're just journaling right now, that's a great way to move in that direction. Because just the art of that, the brain and the hand, and I'm not talking about going to your computer and typing. I'm talking about getting a spiral and using a pen or a pencil and writing it down. Because there's a neuro-linguistic function within your brain that your thoughts flow through your hands, and sometimes you don't know they're coming until you start writing about it. It's a pretty amazing process.
Well, that's an important point. I think make sure it's not just typing, it's right. The writing, mm-hmm. and having, you know, those supplies and those good things to really get the written word down.
It wakes your brain up and it helps you solve problems. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so many people talk about meditating or journaling every day, how good that is for the psyche, the mental capacity, whatever mm-hmm. it might be. So for those of us who are scared of writing, you know, no one has to see it.
And I know you're into exercise because I see you get out there and you walk and I'm thinking, oh, I need to be just like her. I need to be doing this too. It's the same thing as journaling. You need to exercise your brain and your hand and your thoughts, just like you need to exercise your body.
Oh, that's a great point. And nobody needs to be just like me. I've got some weird streak going. I don't know, some weird things inside this brain that have just taken a hold. What's one of the most surprising stories or one of the most surprising things that you weren't anticipating helping people share their stories?
Early on, and whether it's an anthology or a solo book, I was surprised at how safe people felt. And now our writing coaches have been with us, some have been with us 5-6 years. And so people know them, and then people request a specific coach because of maybe they worked with that coach while writing their chapter for an anthology, and then that chapter expands into a full book, and they want that same writing coach. And what I've been amazed with over the years is how that level of trust is there, that people can just tell us their stories. And the amount of growth that people experience as that happens. And it's been anywhere from We helped a gentleman who was gay come out in his book. We just happened to have one of our writing coaches who was the former executive director of the St. Louis effort for AIDS. Now, he didn't know that she was a part of our group until he started telling me my story. And I said, well, do you know so-and-so? He goes, I know her. And then sure enough, having that connection allowed him to feel more safe in telling his story. And it's the same, the other fun side that I see is, so we have a gentleman who is an author. He's the former director of communications for Bass Pro Shop. So his first two or three books were all about fishing and the awards that he won and how you catch a bass. As a retired person, he started having grandchildren. And so then his next two or three books were children's books, highly fully illustrated, and we helped him coordinate that and find the illustrators for his books about fishing with children. And we just finished one last year, something about Cindy Lou and the Lunker Club. And I guess the Lunker is a fishing term and may have something to do with, don't quote me on this one, but... and then, because he's a prolific writer, after the children's books, he found an old novel that he started writing in college. And he pulled that out. It was all handwritten, and he started putting it into his computer and finished it. And pretty soon now he's into novels. So it's once you get the writing bug, that's been the big surprise for me, is that once people get that writing bug and realize that I can do this, I've seen a lot of people go from being a one chapter author to a full book to a whole series of books. And the gentleman I was speaking of from Bass Pro Shop, he's also been in one of our anthologies. He's like, I would like to do that, Kathy. And it's like, sure, we can make that happen. So
it sounds like that seeing that flourishing of somebody who maybe wanted to, maybe didn't want to start out, and then hear their confidence grows in their ability, and they want to take on this sharing stories, sharing wisdom, all of that. It sounds like that's one of the most rewarding.
It's fun. In thinking of Robert, the fisherman, he's also one that has been, he's retired. He's looking for things to do. And so we had a long conversation one day about, Kathy, how do I market my book? And so I talked to him about social media, and he got on Facebook, and he got on LinkedIn, and he went from like 200 followers on Facebook to over 3,000 in about 3 months. Now he was, and this is just about his books, but he was so excited to have figured out this new medium. And I said, just post two or three times a week, you'll be fine. He was posting every day, and he would post about a different book and show a picture and tell a story. Again, it's a story thing for social media. Tell a little snippet about your book. And he called me one day so excited because he had 3,000 followers on Facebook and they were going to shut him down. And so he said, I'm just going to lay low for a while because apparently I've impressed the Facebook people. So...
That's great, but I think that's just a lesson in life, right? Like put yourself out there in a positive, passionate way, and you'll attract that energy sometimes faster than you think, but you'll attract that energy.
And his whole goal was just to make new friends on Facebook, and that's exactly what he did.
And it's funny, we record these sometimes and we have a theme. The person we were speaking with earlier today, we were talking about networking and do it without the intent of selling or getting something.
Right.
So I think that carries right over to what you said about him. It was just, he wants to share something positive. He wants to share something good. He was passionate about it, had no intent other than to do that. And people were attracted to that positive
He was living energy. A happy life. Yeah. And, even one of the books that he wrote was about Meals on Wheels. He was a volunteer for Meals on Wheels. And there was a woman that had been, she's in her 90s, and she was one of the Meals on Wheels delivery people. And he was so impressed with how active she was. And, she was much older than some of the people she was delivering meals to, that he just used his time to tell her story and kind of leave a legacy for her, and wrote this little book about, I forget her, Mary, her name, and how much joy she brought to the rest of the world. And he was just doing what he loved to do, which is writing and telling stories, and just created another bigger ripple for Mary, who now has this book written about her.
So what about those people that might be listening or have seen your name pop up in some form or fashion, or like, I don't have a story to tell. Who would want to listen to mine or read it? What is it about these books and sharing that's so impactful, powerful, or what would you share with them?
I think we all have a story to tell. And if we've lived even 10 years, 20 years of our life, you have some sort of wisdom that needs to be shared. You know, I think about my 10 and 12-year-old grandsons and the lessons that they learn and the fun I have watching them as they learn those. We all have a story to tell, and wisdom not shared is lost forever. And you can have wisdom at every age. And it doesn't have to be, you know, the Einstein kind of wisdom. It can just be my neighbor next door. People just want to be heard. People just want 5 minutes of your time to listen. And you don't really need to respond. You just shake your head and let them know that you've heard them. And what our job is to help them remember those stories and recognize that they are important, and that somewhere in there's a life lesson that they can share that somebody else needs to hear. And it might be that safety net that somebody else needs to hear today to help pull them out of the funk that they might be in, or to help them feel like, oh, somebody else gets me. I'm not the only one that thinks like that, or I'm not the only one that feels like that right now. And I think that's one of the big things that has helped these anthologies grow so amazingly, because it creates that community, that sense of, oh yeah, this person gets me. Sometimes we come out of families that we feel don't really get us. And I think that's a universal thought. I think our families maybe do get us, we just don't know how to communicate. This gives people a chance to communicate and find their peeps, you know?
I like that. Chance to communicate and find their peeps.
Yeah.
But you're so right, because that was the exact thought I had going into that book. And I thought, you know, I just have to do this. My husband was very encouraging, helpful. He's the writer of the family for sure. And, you know, of course, part of me was like, why would I be doing this? And I've got, you know, this guy over my shoulder who's probably going to be, and he wasn't, but in my mind, like, everybody's going to be judging me and this is not my skill set. Mm-hmm. But what I found was a confidence from that. And I don't anticipate at all that my story, anybody picked up anything, or, you know, they might have, I don't anticipate it. But I think what I got from it was the confidence to say, in reading these, is every, as you said, everyone has a story and they are important and we need to share them, because the more we talk about things, the more we can all work through them as a community, as peeps, mm-hmm. or whatever it might be. And it really started leading us down into these paths of me meeting with more people to learn from them, and then saying, we have to share these stories mm-hmm. on this podcast. And so I find every time I sit down with somebody, it's so, I grow so much, and it's therapeutic in so many ways. And I'm saying this for me personally, mm-hmm. but often the person in the chair that you're sitting mm-hmm. in says the same thing, that I think there's just power in opening up, being real, and communicating and sharing stories.
And I think that the big word you just used was real. And it, when you write, it allows you to get real with yourself. And then as you share that with others, it creates stronger relationships and stronger connections. And I think that's how we're all going to get through the next decade.
And who knows what's beyond yeah, that, right. As you know, the world has changed so much mm-hmm. of people sitting behind computers, or at, you know, especially COVID didn't help. And we've got, you know, younger people growing up used to just being on those mm-hmm. computers,
yeah.
You know, in their hands.
There was a study done by Harvard that said, and it's Harvard, Stanford, forgive me, I forget now. One of those big schools in the East Coast. I think it was Stanford, actually. They did a study on storytelling. And storytelling, when you and I share a story or share something in common, it releases the oxytocin in the back of our brain and creates that feel-good feeling as it spreads through our body, which creates more of a connection for you and I. It says, oh, we have something in common. Oh, it lets down that barrier, that wall between us, and allows us to feel connected. And post-pandemic, we're all looking for that extra connection. You know, life is different than it was 6 years ago.
And I guess I'm sitting here thinking this. My husband just and I just got watching this show that, I don't know when it ended. It ended years ago, but it was set, you know, 1,000 years ago, mm-hmm. however. And, you know, music and storytelling has been around. It connected the generations. It connected different cultures. Mm-hmm. That music and storytelling has been the thread, the base, the foundation of communities for so long. So, again, just had this thought. It's, of course, mm-hmm. what you're doing in Davis Creative and, you know, everybody getting these stories out is so pivotal in opening up and connecting.
I've had a few authors in the anthologies, and we had one in the recent one this last winter. Just as the book was about to be published, she called me in tears. And she said, I don't think I can let my chapter go out there. And I said, why not? She said, because people will read it. I said, people will read it that need to read it. And the story that you've told, she goes, but my family will read it. And I had read her chapter, and I knew that there wasn't really anything in it. I mean, she talked about her faith, and she comes from a very strong faith-based family and very active in her church. And I said, perhaps this is the story you were asked to tell. You know, this is part of your mission. She thoroughly believes she has a church-based mission, and maybe this is part of your mission, is to let people know about the happiness you find. And then I hear her take this big, deep breath on the other side of the phone, and she goes, okay, I can do this. And I go, you're right, you can do it. It's okay. I said, there's 40 other women in the same book with you. We're all going to be telling our stories at the same time, and it's going to be a great experience. And she went, let us keep the chapter in there, and she went through it. And it's just that little ounce of worry that after you write down your true thoughts, someone's going to read it. And that's okay.
Because it's real. Yeah. It feels more real in print. Mm-hmm.
Life is about creating positive ripples. And this is one of those ways you can create a positive ripple.
And I think something you had said earlier is that people want to be seen. They want to feel heard. And so I'm sure this is a very therapeutic. I underlined something you'd written before, and I don't think I've been able to eloquently throw it out here yet today. You talked about sharing the wisdom, but your role is helping, especially since you talked about some men writing books, but a lot of your client base is female, helping them learn to stand up, speak up, and lift up each other through publishing and mm-hmm. storytelling. And I'm sure not only each other, but themselves.
It's part of the process. They unknowingly, going through the process, they automatically get lifted up just by being a part of our program. By sharing their stories, it allows them to let other people know that you can go through things, you can trip and fall, you can get back up, you have people here to help you get back up. It's also that the lift up part is being able to extend your hand out and help that next person up. And I have heard so many stories, whether they actually have been posted as Amazon reviews sometimes. So when someone writes one of their stories in an anthology, this Amazon review will pop up that says, I needed to hear that story now. I needed to realize that I too am going to be okay. I'm going to get out of whatever I'm going to go through. And thank you for sharing your story. And I have had authors call me in tears because of people that have written them emails from their stories that have been in these books or have been bold enough to go out and place it on Amazon as a review. So yes, it's definitely, there's that ripple effect of being able to learn that I can do it and show somebody else that they can do it. And then they in turn will turn and lift somebody else up also.
So for those who've done the book or are thinking of doing a book or contributing to an anthology, mm-hmm. you know, you have a power in front of you mm-hmm. that you can share and wield. I don't know if that's the right word, mm-hmm. but to really, who knows someone somewhere to lift them up and help them through something through the power of openness, honesty, and words.
Exactly. You know, it's an amazing tool, and it's a power that can be used for good.
Yeah. And it's one of those tools, you mentioned the whole running thing, and yes, for a couple of years I've been running, but I think what it helped me do is get out by myself, build some confidence, read and listen to books. I listened to a ton of audiobooks, but what I found through that process was, for so long, I think I shut off communicating behind the Wizard of Oz curtain for fear of what other people would think, or, oh yeah, sure, Cynthia, whatever, you had a really hard life, ooh, woe is me. And it wasn't until somebody else took my pen away from me on Facebook and wrote something about me that I think that was the nudge I needed to say, oh, good Lord, I have no idea if anybody's going to benefit from this.
Yeah.
But if I am shocked by this, you know, inspirational thing that I read, why not share it? Who knows that ripple you might have, but especially at that time for me, you know, COVID and politics, I thought so many people with negative words have the microphone or have the pen. Why don't we try to even the playing field a little bit?
Well, and it's the power of community also, because yes, there are people out there that have bigger microphones than us right now, but through the power of community and the power of voices coming together. And it doesn't mean that everybody in one of these collection books has to have agreement on whatever the topic is. It's an opportunity to share your voice and your opinion on that topic. And at the same time, you're lifting everyone else up that's in that book. Yeah.
What are some wish lists for book ideas, things you'd love for someone to bring you or to create out into the universe?
Men have a tendency to shy away from sharing their feelings. And when you write a chapter in one of these books, quite often you're asked to, you know, well, how do you feel about that? I've heard many writing coaches ask that question more than once. We happen to have a collection that's being brought together now by a gentleman. He happens to be a deputy fire chief for one of the districts, and he has brought a group of men together, and they're all writing stories about being a dad or having a dad. And I find it very fascinating. I've only gotten to read a couple of them so far. Some of them have actually gotten into feelings and what does it feel like. Others have stayed a little more above the feeling zone. I would love to be able to do a book with both men and women where they are, you know, everyone's welcome, where we're talking about how to make a happy life, or how to create those positive ripples in life. And it's on my radar. And so if somebody else doesn't come to me with that idea, then perhaps in the next year, we'll see me talking about that and inviting people to come join me in that book.
Ooh, that would be fun. Heard it here first, maybe,
yeah.
If it comes out. But that's interesting that it sounds like maybe men tend to shy away from writing versus women.
Well, quite often, these books are used as a marketing tool. And it's a great way, if you have a business, to jump in. And so that has typically, up until now, been the way that I've gotten men involved. It's like, oh yeah, I can use this to market my business, or I'm a speaker, I can have this book at the back of the room. And they'll write at that one level, not too many feelings, just a little bit. But the opportunity exists for both men and women, because I know there are women out there that struggle with sharing their feelings also. But that opportunity that gives them a chance to really look at their life and look at what they have to give to the rest of the world and be ready to share that in a story.
And it really is a gift. Your story, your life, your experiences, your wisdom, whether you think you have wisdom or not, you do. It is a gift to others out there.
Somebody needs to hear your story. Yeah. Even if you're not sure what your story is, we can help you figure that out. Yeah.
And it might be that you've said you've had women join or people join in several anthologies, it may be that, you know, your first one out of the gate is a little bit more reserved, a little bit more covered in the front, but, you know, you can't get to that second or third one if you don't take a chance at that first one.
And I've seen people that take that chance and write that first chapter and realize, oh, that wasn't so bad. That didn't hurt, or I didn't lose a limb because of that. You know, that's not so bad. And it gives them then the momentum to say, okay, I can do that. And maybe now I'll do another one chapter, or maybe I'll think about writing my own book. Yeah, where do I start with that? And then we have that conversation.
It is funny because I was one of those, and I still have all 10, you know, fingers or, you know, 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, whatever you want to call it. I still have both legs, all of my toes, nothing. I've lost no appendage just by aging. I just have a few more wrinkles, probably in gray hair, but that would have happened whether or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're very safe, and they help you work through it.
Mm-hmm.
You had, so those either thinking about adding their own chapter or they're, you know, putting their own book out there.
Mm-hmm.
What all goes in, you mentioned earlier, you know, the costs and somebody going out there and marketing their own books. What's the, there's the share of the emotions, share your story side. What's the financial, economical
side? What's the share of the budget side?
Right. Yeah. How do you go about selling these books? And
so the chapters can range anywhere from $850 up to over $1,000. And that is dependent upon different programs that we have. We've seen a sponsor, we had a sponsor out of Oklahoma City who actually sold her chapters for $1,700. And then she created a program, a weekend retreat program, and invited all of the authors to come and start their chapter on this retreat. And she built that price into that $1,700. But if you're coming right off the street and you want to be in an anthology, you can expect it to write a chapter for about 1/10 of the cost that would be to write a solo book, and that's going to be around $850 to $1,000.
Yeah, because they're getting the proofreaders, the writing coaches,
you get the Amazon bestseller campaign, they get the book design, they get the book cover. Each author gets to keep ownership of their own words, so you retain the copyright of anything that you wrote. The sponsor retains the ownership of the theme and the title of the book. You can't trademark a title in the U.S., a book title, and so no one really owns the title, but the concept is owned by whoever the sponsor is.
And so then how, if you know, this is a potentially a marketing tool or making money, I mean, the individual authors, whether they have their own book or they're part of the anthology, can sell their books. They can buy a certain amount, sell them. I mean, can they look at this as a creating, you know, a flow of
additional income?
Yeah.
We downplay that a little bit, only in that as a solo author, Amazon is going to keep most of your money.
Mm.
But we do teach you how to buy your books at cost. And the books that you sell from your website and or at speaking engagements, or when you're, you know, speaking at like a local chamber, or if you're a national speaker and you're speaking at big conferences, we've had people say, Kathy, I need 300 books at South by Southwest, the big event in August in Austin. And we ship those down there, and she sold all 300. We've had that same author said, Kathy, I just sold 1,000 books to A.G. Edwards. Can you take care of making sure that gets over there? And gave me the name and the address. A.G. Edwards bought a book for each of their senior female executives of this woman's solo book. But we teach you how to buy your books at cost, and whether it's through Amazon or through a local printing company. We have, as you mentioned, we have authors on both coasts. It's actually cheaper to print books here in St. Louis and ship them to L.A. than to print in California. Same with Florida. We can print cheaper here in St. Louis and ship them to Florida than it is to print in Florida. So that's one of the good things about being in St. Louis is we have better prices. It has allowed us to get a lot of clients from both coasts that say, oh, you know, their price point's a little cheaper in St. Louis, but... and I know I'm going to get the same quality, if not better, as I would on the coast.
When I know, I think you've mentioned, but I know this just from behind the scenes, that some people will then set up their own publishing company.
Right. We are not actually the publisher. So each of the, if you're a sponsor in an anthology or you're a solo author for your own book, we set you up as your own independent publishing company. That allows you to keep 100% of your royalties and 100% of your copyright. We are basically much like a ghost publisher. We walk you through the steps. We are not an attorney nor a CPA, but we have seen what a lot of those CPAs and attorneys tell our authors to do. We always recommend to have the author go talk to your CPA and your attorney and ask them these questions, or I'm more than happy to be on the call with them when they're talking. But they get set up as an independent publisher, and then we show them how to buy their books from Amazon. We show them how to get their books into bookstores, who their major distributor would be, how to get their books. The distributor that we use for global distribution is Ingram. You can go out and do the research on Amazon, or I mean on Google, and figure it out. But Ingram distributes your book not only to all the libraries in the U.S., but they also distribute it to all the brick-and-mortar bookstores. That allows, if you have a cousin that's living in the United Kingdom and they can walk into a local bookstore and ask for your book, that bookstore can order your book.
Oh, wow.
And get it to them. If they don't, they don't want to buy from Amazon, they can order that. So it's a great way. We work with a lot of speakers, trainers, coaches, and consultants, and that allows them, yes, to have an additional income, stream of income. I don't want to make high promises to people because it does take a lot of work. It's not a matter of just putting your book out on Amazon or just aligning yourself with a distributor. You need to become more visible, more vocal. You need to be that speaker. You need to be the person that's willing to stand up and talk about your book. You know, even if it's just go out and buy a 6-inch button that says, ask me about my book. And we've had authors do that.
Yeah. I think about, you know, when movies come out or you know, artists put their albums out, what level are you at? Are you then putting the work in to promote that,
right,
to talk about it, to present it, to do that work? And so it sounds like really you have a broad spectrum.
We target the people, what I call our transformational speakers, trainers, and coaches, whether it's personal transformation or business transformation. You know, if you need help in growing your business, we have a lot of authors that deal with leadership and coaches that go in and work with businesses to help their employees. At the same time, we have a lot of authors that deal with, you know, personal growth and confidence and those types of topics where an individual might reach out and grab their book. Each of those, whether you're target audience as a corporate or an individual, needs to be seen. And the only way to be seen is to get up, make the phone calls. You are your own marketing department. Even the traditional publishers, most of them have released all of their marketing teams. And even if you're, you know, unless you're maybe J.K. Rowling or Danielle Steele, one of the big names, you're not going to get much marketing help from a traditional publisher. So we work with people who have figured out they don't want to wait around for the traditional publisher. They want to get it done this year, not in 2 years from now. And then we teach them how to make the money. You know, you want to get on the speaker circuit. You want to make sure you have a website that has a page that has your book on it. And you got to do social media or I can recommend people that can do that for you.
Yeah, so that one-stop shop, kind of bringing it again. Thanks for sharing your target.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't one where I write a book, I become J.K. Rowling, and I make a lot of money. It's definitely a tool, or you know, one tool in the toolbox. But you have to know how to use the tool.
Keep using it.
Use everything else to.
It's that we work with people who want to use their books as a marketing tool for their business. You know, whether they're a one-person business or whether they're, you know, a representative at A.G. Edwards, this is a book that allows you to, whether it's an anthology or a solo book, it's another tool. It's your annual report. It's your stake in the ground. It says, this is who this person is, this is what they believe in, and this is their methodology. Yeah.
So if you're, you know, want to dabble in it. You've got a general idea, but you don't want to write the whole book yourself. You just want to give this a try, or maybe you want to organize the idea, or you are that coach speaker. You have a big idea where mm-hmm. you do want to put the work in to, you know, widen your net of mm-hmm. who you share it to. You've got the team for any of those to be able to help them.
Yeah, and we work with a lot of people who may have been downsized and have decided they're starting their own business. I'm going to become a consultant. Now what do I do? So we talk them through that and what that would look like if you have a book. On the anthology side, if they decide to just do one, and we do have a lot of speakers and trainers that will start with that one anthology, it's only 1,500 to 2,000 words. So you're not being asked to write very much. And some people say, I've got too much to say for that. And others will say, I'll never hit that. Well, we'll make sure you get in there somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's funny. 1,500 words goes fast mm-hmm. when you think of the thes and the, you know,
the extra words that you really don't need. Yeah.
Right. Maybe somebody can help you whittle it down, but it does go fast. Mm-hmm. And for some of us like me who would say it's scary, they break it down and it's so doable. And there's such a good feeling once you have done it to say, you know, I can do those hard things.
It's a great feeling of accomplishment.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. Mm-hmm. Again, speaking from somebody who give me a tax return, let me mm-hmm. look at the puzzle of the numbers, the idea of writing a creative story that mm-hmm. somebody would actually want to start or finish, you know, go from start to finish, was very daunting. And so you need a team like you have to bring those people through. And it's, I'm sure, such a fulfilling at the end, so fulfilling for that person to say, you know, thank you for walking me through
it's a great sense of accomplishment. Yeah. It's also creates that momentum. Sometimes it's the little nudge that they need to get out there and volunteer to speak at your chamber and volunteer to speak, you know, with the men's group or the women's group or the book club and talk about who you are and what you do and who you help.
Yeah. And all of that, mm-hmm. whether you're just talking business or your personal story, it's all about telling a story. Mm-hmm. How do you do it, you know, in an open, honest, interesting way? And I didn't even plan that segue, but it is about sharing, as you said, sharing wisdom, opening up, listening, being heard, sharing your story. You have no idea who's out there that needed to hear that. And I think something you said earlier, wisdom's at any age. I mean, sometimes I'm flabbergasted about what little kids say. And, you know, sometimes they're the smartest ones in the room because they haven't had the world and society
new perspective,
close them off. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to really, if you've been thinking about it, take that step, even to explore it, to, I think, probably unlocking yourself. And there's a true sense of freedom to say, I did it, I put it out there.
It's taking a chance on yourself and allowing yourself just to step into a new pond. There was I guess you would call it an idiom that I heard a speaker say years ago, of those that have a thing to sell and go and shout it in a well, the one most apt to get the dollar is the one that climbs the tree and hollers.
Okay, I need you to say that one more time because that was good.
Of those that have a thing to sell and go and shout it in a well, the one most apt to get the dollars is the one who climbs the tree and hollers. And a book allows you to climb that tree and say, I'm a little bit different than the next guy. I'm willing to share my story and I'm willing to share my method because I know it can help you. Books that sell are those that are going to help somebody and offer relief. And if you have a way of sharing how you can show someone how to offer relief and help the next person, that's the book that's going to sell.
And, you know, don't rob someone else of the opportunity to learn from you, or somebody mentioned earlier today, or to share your love. Don't take that opportunity from them by closing off.
Sharing your wisdom is sharing your love, sharing your insight, sharing your knowledge. And it's helping. I always ask my authors or our clients, who are you? Who do you help? And how do you help them? And it's people unknowingly are looking for help for something. And if you can fill that void, then your book can fill that void.
And you've certainly done that through different virtual kind of webinars, or, you know, people mm-hmm. can learn. I've logged into several mm-hmm. of those. It could be anything from using AI. It can be kind of how do you have that quick elevator pitch? How do you develop that? What do you say? Mm-hmm. So, you know, to work with your team and Davis Creative, it's not just author or not, I'm willing to write a book or not. It's learning some of these other things along the way, whether it's through the written book bound word, or it's speaking, or just telling somebody what you do.
Right. We have one coming up later this next week on AI. And then we had one scheduled last week that was supposed to be on podcasting, ironically, and he had to reschedule. And now his is going to be the 29th of this month, just to sneak one more in for this month. And so it's topics that are of importance to authors, that would help authors, but they help other people too.
We all have a story. In mm-hmm. some way, we're all sharing a story, mm-hmm. whether it's how we dress, how we present ourselves, how we come into a room, how we tell mm-hmm. people what we do or who we are. We all have a story. And so if you're thinking, Davis Creative is only there for somebody who wants to write a chapter or write a book, not true. If you want to learn more about just mm-hmm. things, the creative mind, word, you know, written or verbal, they can come to you to learn more and expand their minds, which a lot of that would be through website, LinkedIn. You know, how do they start, I want to get on their, you know, email list about all these different opportunities?
I would start following us on LinkedIn. It's Kathy L. Davis. There's a lot of Kathy Davises out there. And we do have our monthly lunch and learns. Those are the second Thursday of every month. We squeezed two in this month just because we needed to. And then our new website, I love how it was supposed to have been up last Friday, maybe this Friday. So, well, but in our website, you can get to it from daviscreative.com or daviscreativepublishing.com. You'll find me that way. And I am on Facebook, and we have a business Facebook. So it's Davis Creative Publishing on Facebook, Instagram. Again, Kathy L. Davis is the way to find me, because there are a lot of Kathy Davises in St. Louis even.
So thank you for coming and being so open and vulnerable and sharing stories. I mean, so many things of confidence, credibility, connections, planting seeds along the way that led you to where you're at. You know, your tips of ask more quickly and keep asking until you really get mm-hmm. the help and the advice that you need. But trust yourself, trust your intuition, find those that, you know, you can surround yourself to mm-hmm. fill in skill gaps, and trust, you know, wisdom, even just the little bit that you can share will help someone some way. And if you doubt yourself, yes, there's something in that mind and that heart and that soul mm-hmm. that you have that you can share and help someone get through something. But I think one of the things maybe that I wrote down that I'll end with, because it's so important and something I need to hear myself, which maybe this podcast is part of that, is, you know, take a chance on yourself.
I love that. Yeah.
Good way to end. So thank you for coming and sharing.
Oh,
you're
thank
on the
you.
Flip side, sharing your story
I
with
know.
All of us and teaching us, inspiring us on how we can share our stories.
It's been fun. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, Kathy. Mm-hmm.
This concludes another episode of the She Lift Project podcast. To hear more episodes of the show, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And to learn more about our mission of helping women reach higher levels of success, visit SheLiftProject.com and sign up to receive the latest news, ebooks, videos, and more.